this is Tiffany.
And this is Sydney.
And we're in San Marcos at the Blues Barbecue with Aunt Kizzy's boys. We have Sugar Ray, Joe, Dwayne, and Mo.
Yes. And Jimmy is on the road.
Jim T. He's on the road. Yeah, he's coming. You got a 3-hour drive, but he'll be here.
Okay. Fashionably late.
I said, hey, pretty baby, what's going on? Got my Cadillac outside, mama.
Or boys, where did your band form, and how did you end up playing here in San Diego?
Well, you know what? It's kind of like a destiny thing. I used to play with one of the top R&B bands in the area, and I got fed up doing other people's songs, and I couldn't go any further. You know, I played with a band that three of the members had Grammys and all that stuff, but it just got old, it got repetitious. And so I was getting ready to quit music again, like I did in gospel years ago, and just continue with my farming and so forth. And my significant other made me go to a blues jam in this little town called Temecula, this little hole-in-the-wall club called
Rhythm and Brews.
And that night, I went in there, and I had a job to go to that Monday, but that night, I went in on that Sunday, and I met Dwayne.
Uh-huh. The worst thing ever happened to him in his life. That's the worst thing. Now, Ray, I was doing some drumming. I'm Dwayne, playing a little drum for Aunt Kizzy's, and one of the co-founders. And we had put the band together, and we had gone through some changes with the band. And the biggest thing was that Ray came in on a jam night, and people was bowing down to him. And I was like, wow. But you know what? He's the voice. I call him the best unpaid front man I ever worked with. But anyway, we got together. One thing led to another. We got on stage together, and it just clicked. And I went out in the parking lot, and I called Jimmy. I said, Jimmy, I'm going to tell you right now, I don't care who you're working with. We're going to do some stuff with Ray. One thing led to another, blah, da, 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 da. Uh-huh. How we end up here, the band we first formed together, Jimmy knew Dennis from Allen's Wrench.
Okay.
And so we came out here, and Kizzy, we played one time, and then Bill McGee asked us to back him. So one thing led to another. So all these friendships start to come together. So that's how we ended up. And that's been about 4, 5, 6 years.
Crossroads.
Yes.
Real
exactly.
Crossroads.
That's right. Mo can't talk because he got food in his mouth. Say something.
Hey, this is Mo, the percussion player. And I knew all these guys from before. We all played in different bands. But meanwhile, I've been doing some work with Dwayne.
Uh-oh.
Teaching kids.
Right.
No, I'm not going to tell
you. I heard
that.
About that apartment on the second floor.
And we did a few things together, workshops.
Yeah.
Workshops even. Right?
Yeah.
And a shop.
Yeah. And I went to one of the jams where the Enkis boys were, and I was invited to play with them.
Because he owed me money.
So, at that time, I was playing in L.A. with another band, and I quit that, and there he goes.
Hi.
Hi.
Well, my name's Joe, and I'm Big Joe.
Joe?
I'm the bass player for Aunt Kizzy's Boys for the last 4 years?
4 years now.
Awesome. 4 years now, and prior to that, I moved to San Diego County about 14 years ago. I also live in Fallbrook, where Ray lives.
Uh-huh.
And I was in five bands. I was in five different bands.
At one time?
At one time.
Wow.
Actually, Kizzy's made the fifth band. And lo and behold, Jimmy kept calling me and giving me dates and giving me dates and giving me dates. And I finally found these guys who wanted to work as much as I do. So I joined Aunt Kizzy's Boys. Now, it's this first time in 20 years I've been in one band.
Wow.
And as a matter of fact, we're somewhere, I haven't done the actual math yet, but we're somewhere between 700 and 1,000 gigs right now.
Yeah.
In those four years.
We be working.
Yeah, we work all the time.
Sugar Ray, you said you were a farmer also.
Yes.
So,
I'm originally from Texas, and I'm one of them guys, a lot of guys believe in stocks and bonds, I believe in dirt.
Listen, girl, I'm a Texas blue man, yeah.
to Brownsville, from El Paso, baby, to Duncanville, from the Red River and the Trinity Valley too. I come all the way from Texas, baby, just to sing the blues for you. I'm a Texas blues man. I'm a blues man.
Some of the best advice my grandmother ever gave me was, you know, anytime you can buy a piece of land, buy it, because they don't make any more of it.
Yeah.
So I have a farm in Fallbrook, about 5-6 acres of avocados, 350 avocado trees, and I am a true Texas blues farmer, you know. People look at me strange because I'm a black guy and I'm walking around with a cowboy hat and a big buckle and boots, but I really do wear this for real, and as well as just wearing like nice suits and stuff, so it's a lot of fun.
And then you guys, you all have day jobs?
No, we're full-time musicians,
oh, okay.
Except for one of us.
Well, and I'm soon to be a retired
auto mechanic. Yeah, because be working at work anyway, so
He's always with us.
I just show up.
They got cardboard cutouts and Joe just like
yeah.
This. Yeah. And Miss Secular Money. Yep. Money.
Full time.
Well, that's great.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So you guys were second at the 2006 International Blues Competition.
Yeah, we're kind of sore about that. We're kind of sore about that. That's a sore point. Yeah.
Sore? Because you wanted to be first?
No, we were first.
Oh, you were first?
We were first. We had 5,000 people, standing ovation. There was a giant chant going on, 5,000 people, kids ruled the room.
Yeah.
We found out later that it was rigged. The guy they gave first place to was the guy that was disqualified the year before.
That Jimmy.
So he didn't even have to kind of, I don't want to go in, I don't want to bring up bad dirt, but it was all over the blogs, it was all over the Memphis paper the next day and all that, you know, it was a pretty big deal. But we went to Memphis for one reason, and that was not so much to win, even though it would have been fun to go first place, but our main thing was, as always with this band, is we play to get exposure. We're older guys, and we're doing it the old-fashioned way. We decided we would do it like they used to do it in the 60s, where if they're not going to put us on television, if they're not going to put us in the magazines, then we'll play 20, 30 shows a month,
and you'll know who we are.
And it has worked. So now we've done much television, radio, and print ads because of our work ethic. And a lot of bands won't do that, but we average about 15 to 17 shows a month, and all over from here to Europe to Mississippi to Florida to Louisiana to you name it. So
we make it do what it's going to do. Guess who's here?
Hi.
Jimmy. Guess who's here?
You know, I just want to add to this, too. I'm going to pull the race card on this.
Go ahead.
It's because I'm white.
That's right. Now, this is my buddy Jimmy King. Jimmy and I go back about 13 years now, 13, 14. And Jim and I have been playing together all that time.
Wow.
And, you know, he's a great guy, great family, everything. So you know what? That's the thing. We're family. Uh-huh. We're family. You know, that time we hate each other, but you know what? So did my ex-wife, but we're still cool.
So green again.
Again.
Chomp.
Oh, I was going to ask you guys about booze and blues, because I wanted to go. I called and talked to Mary.
We were very excited about that. We actually made someone upset. There was another place, another city that wanted us to play on that day. But we didn't sign the contract, and we're making no money on that show. But it's one of those things that you only get to do once in a lifetime. It is the oldest juke joint left in America. It's called Club Ebony. It's in Indianola, Mississippi. B.B. King goes back every year because it's one of the first clubs to give him a start.
Wow.
And he puts on a big free festival for all the kids every year. And we have been invited down to headline that show. It's a 4-day show. And there are literally bands coming from all over the world, from London, from France, from Australia, and all over the United States. And we are actually Unkissy's Boys, you know, a lowly band here in Southern California. We're headlining the show, so.
And I think it's a real juke joint.
And I think it's special for me because my folks are from a small town in Mississippi, Noxapeta, Mississippi, uh-huh. And they're 80 and 81 years old. So, you know, my last trip to Mississippi was when I was 12. The mosquitoes ate me alive. They almost flew me out of there. So we going to see what's happening.
Stay burned.
I'm going to be the boy in the bubble.
So, yeah, we're real excited about it. I think, you know, it's one of those things that they only come around once. The lady that has owned it for the last 35, 40 years, she's had like 3 strokes.
Yeah.
And I just found out recently that it's up for sale.
Oh.
And so we're trying to, the blues community worldwide is trying to save. It is one of the places, you know, a lot of the old blues guys are passing on. There's not very many of them left. Thank God BB's still around. But places where they played and started, I mean, at Club Ebony, from my understanding, Albert King used to live one block. Literally one block down the street.
Yeah.
And he used to come in and play 3-4 nights a week, just come in and sit in with the bands. He was a nobody then. And that's the place that launched him.
That's where he's from.
But he lived right down the street from the place.
He sure did.
Isn't someone else from there, too? Like, is it Freddie King or B.B. King? Okay, yeah, because they have his birthday thing there.
That's basically the Delta region of Mississippi. There's lots of people from that whole... I've been there before, and that whole place is just drenched in blues history.
Yeah, that's we're all from there in our soul, you know?
That's right.
I called down there to see about getting tickets to the show, you know, in Indianola, and I got Mary on the phone.
Did she actually
answered the phone, and we were just chatting. She said, y'all to call up that Best Western, and runs out of rooms.
Not very many hotels there, but we booked some rooms. They're only $40. But the thing is, they're expecting somewhere in the neighborhood 300-400 people to descend on this little... Well, that's just the bands, to descend on this little town. So I don't know where people are going to sleep. So we booked... a couple months ago, because we're like, I'm not sleeping in a tent. I mean, I'm a blues man, but I ain't using no rock for a pillow. I don't want the stars for my bed. So.
Technology. Not with the mosquitoes.
That's right.
But I'm from Texas. I'm used to the mosquitoes, but you know.
And what month are you guys going to be there?
It's in July.
July.
That's right, July, right?
Next month.
Next month.
Real high.
Tail end of next month.
I can't remember what date, because we have so many dates. It's kind of swimming in my head, but it's July.
You know, I noticed on your website that you were saying, you know, Freddie King, Albert King, B.B. King, all the kings are your influence.
Jimmy King,
yeah. So how committed are you to following in those footsteps, or are you going to kind of break out on your own and do your own blues thing?
Well, we love those guys, their style. But we are, I mean, anyone that's ever seen us live know that we are a whole different entity. The biggest thing that people love about this band is that we walk on the stage and they think we're a bunch of old men, and all of a sudden, you know, it's like someone gave us steroids and we're flying and sliding all over the place.
Or Viagra.
Steroids, Red Bull.
And it just blows people's mind. But no, our first CD, you know, which we're very proud of, Trump of the Blues, is sold very well worldwide. I mean, we're on radio stations all around the world, which is really cool.
Yeah.
But that was our first CD, and the band had only been together for 6 months, and we recorded that album.
Wow.
Yeah.
6 months.
So we didn't even know each other in this present form.
Yeah.
And then we just finished our next album, live album. We just recorded a live album called It's Tight Like That, which would be, we'll be doing a big CD release party the weekend of the 23rd. We're doing the Julian Blues Festival, and then we're playing Patrick's that night, and we're doing a CD release party. And then we're doing the second one in L.A. at Cozy's in Sherman Oaks.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
But we're very happy about that.
So. In the valley, man.
And it's all with Christian soldiers.
And this album is a great blues album. It's real eclectic. There's some acapella work with just Jimmy and I on guitar and a tambourine in there. There's a bunch of great new songs on there. A lot of juke songs. So we took it back to that Texas. It's a mixture of Texas, California, Delta blues infused with the energy that we have.
Minus the Beach Boy blues.
Yeah.
And then me and Mo even got a tune on there for percussion, because without the rhythm.
That's right.
A lot of people
forget that original blues was called drum and fife. It wasn't the guitars, it wasn't anything. It was a singer playing a snare drum and somebody playing a fife or a flute. And those are original blues.
Oh, wow.
They're called drum and fife. So that's been missing a lot of times, you know. So we tried to bring some of that back.
Yeah, you know, and I was listening to that on the way down from my jaunt for 2 hours, 15 minutes, and I listened to it a couple times, and I hadn't listened to it since we mixed it, you know, a little bit here and there, and that's something that is a collective thing from all of us, and Ray and I and all of us have done other recordings, but this is the proudest moment for me.
Yeah, I'm very
because
proud.
Because it
captures who we are.
Us.
See, and that's always sometimes the biggest problem with bands is that you buy their CDs or whatnot, or you go see them. The two never are the same.
Yeah.
And, you know, you come see us, it's tight like that, now you're going to feel us and hear us. So you just take us with you all wherever you want to go now.
Yeah, it really made me proud to work with all the guys that I work with, because, you know, we are family.
Well, yeah, we are.
And it's like a destiny thing, because not only are we family, and we have the good and the bad, like Dee said earlier, you know, we get upset at each other and stuff like a family.
Right.
But the big thing about it is we all come back to each other, like not all families do, but we do, because we care about each other.
Well, my thing is kind of like my mama said, I can yell and scream at them, they can yell and scream at me, they can kick me, and we can kick each other, but I'm not going to allow anybody else to do that to them, because they are my family, you know. So it's one thing if somebody see me yelling at Jimmy and Jimmy yelling at me, but if somebody else come up and yell at Jimmy,
it's on.
Then
or
it's
vice
on.
Versa.
Or vice versa.
So it's kind of like, it's family.
I may be short, but I can still pack a pretty good punch.
You know what? I'm a drummer. I can't hurt my hand, but I got a Louisville Slugger and a half a wheelbarrow.
You can borrow my machete.
That's why we call him Mo. Mo Shetty.
Mo Shetty. And Mo, where are you from? You have an accent.
I bought this accent. It was very expensive.
You bought it on eBay. Give it
to me. 1999.
Oh,
wait.
Man.
There's more.
No, I'm from Africa. Uh-huh. I'm from Angola, Africa. And I've been here for 17 years now, and I'm happy.
That's good, even though you're singing the blues.
Oh, yeah.
But the blues, you know, the thing about the blues is, well, a lot of people, you know, people that are not from that area don't understand. Some blues are made to make you feel sad. Some blues are to say things that you don't have the words to say. But I grew up in Texas blues, and when my aunts and everything would go out to the juke joint, you know, people always laugh because of some of the things I say. But, you know, they put on the 6-inch miniskirt, the 3-inch high heels. They wasn't going to go cry. They was going to shake what my grandma gave them. And it was about having a good time all night long, you know. So, you know, this new album that we did, we wanted to do a live album. I mean, our last album was a studio album. It was very, very good, but it was very precise. But we wanted to do an album that really kind of captures what we are when we play live. And I think that
you're African.
Oh, yeah.
That's it.
Especially in the drum stuff.
I have a comment on the album because I'm really excited about your new one. I haven't heard it yet, but I have your old one, the first one,
yes.
And I love it. But I would listen to it and I'd think, oh, it's so much different. If I hadn't heard you live,
yes.
I couldn't, because
yes.
I picture
yes.
you in my mind. I'm like, yeah, that's it. That's the song. But yeah, to hear you live is going to be fabulous. I'm really excited about
that. Yeah, at the same time, you can get take some classes. Bundology classes. Yeah, that we are going to start doing.
That's a song from the, on the album. Too.
Yeah, it's a song from now.
What's your favorite song, Cindy, when you see them live?
Well,
they all make me wiggle. They even make my boyfriend wiggle, which is like a wonderful thing. But I like No Dogs Allowed because it makes me laugh. I like Rub My Back also because that's like so sexy.
Rub my back.
Well,
Rubber Back, that's Albert King. You know, so on the first album, we did a few covers because the producer at that time thought that we should do a few covers to give the album something where people would want to pick it up because they knew the song. I work hard today, and I'm tired as a man. Song that we wrote, so
love that
that's one of our own. I love it too. It's a great song. It's a great song. It's true.
It's a much requested song. Too.
Yeah. She always tell me she didn't want any dogs in the house. No dogs, no dogs, no dogs. And I tell people all the time, she wasn't talking about the four-legged kind either. Two-legged dogs. So that's what the song is about. It's about two-legged dogs. It's not four-legged dogs. So.
I got that.
And you're always playing, so you can check out the website.
Yep, it's www.auntkizzysboys.com, and that's all Z's, no S's, one word all together. KIZZYZBOYZ, auntkizzysboys.com.
And how did you pick that name?
Well, if you remember the character in Roots, Aunt Kizzy.
Yeah.
Okay, my whole concept when I was putting band together and everything, I go, you know, most bands, everybody tries to look alike. They put on bowling shirts and hats and everybody look, you know, that wasn't my thing. If you think about the South is really the motherland for the United States, wherever we all come from, mm-hmm. for different reasons. Some of them were negative, a la slavery. Mm-hmm. So our thing is that when you look at our band, you see some of everything about the band. So that's a Kizzy's thing. If you remember Roots, Aunt Kizzy was the lady. So that's from my heart. All these guys represent America. They represent the world, because that's what it's about. So that's what it's about. Now I got a question for you.
Yes.
What about this blue cat here? What's up with that?
This is Blue Mew, and I have Blue a MySpace page, and Blue Mew loves the blues, and she's traveling around, seeing all her favorite bands, and actually you're her favorite band, so she's here. There's going to be a photo op, I hope, later with Blue Mew for MySpace.
Great. So that's where Kizzy came from.
Thank you. That's great. Anything else anyone would like to say?
Just watch your pockets.
We'd like to thank you guys.
Yeah. And could you, we're so Pirate much. Pods, we end our podcast with a pirate R. Can you give a pirate impression?
R, matey,
R.
Don't you, touch my poop, dad.
You can touch me booty, but don't touch me chest.
They got it covered. I can't do it.
Thank you, guys. Right.
Thank you.
Thank you.
That's fine, here.
Yes, baby!
That goes by the name of Bernadette.